Hey, fellow Freedom fans, David Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to go to something that I think is important. Again, we're talking about worldviews. You heard the report from Patrick. He was talking about in the Muslim nations that you, if you change your religion, if you actually respond to Jesus and the New Testament and Old Testament combined invitation for salvation, for eternity, and for abundant life here on this planet, you will be killed. That's what that is about. That's actually an instruction in the Quran. I remember listening to the President Bush refer to the Holy Quran. Well, we know about the Holy Bible. In fact, Muhammad, when he first started getting interested in religion, he was intrigued by and he liked Christianity and he respected the Bible and the scriptures, what is called the Old Testament, New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. He respected it. In fact, in the early part of his writings, he said that those who are of the book, that's the Bible, they should be honored and respected. But those who are not of the book, who maybe give lip service but misbehave, then obviously those would be the infidels. Well, the infidels changed with time when the Orthodox Christians weren't accepting some of the thing that Muhammad was saying. So eventually it got to the point where Christians were dogs, that Jews were pigs, they were all infidels, and that they ought to die. Now, the problem is some of the things that are being taught in Surah, which is it means the cow, and it's a book about idolatry. It's saying things that are completely opposite of what, quote unquote, the book that we know of the Bible says. It goes exactly contrary to the things that Jesus said, goes contrary to the things that were reported by the witnesses who were there with Jesus, goes contrary to the teachings in the Old Testament, in Genesis, about the very beginning and fundamental creation and relationship between God and man. It goes contrary to that. So which one's holy? Either they're both not or something isn't. So that's something, a little bit of worldview that ought to shock your mind a little bit, but most people don't read that stuff. They just think it's all sort of the same and there's nice people. And then there's extremists that take it out of context. Actually, the Christian extremists love God and love their neighbor as herself. That's what they do. And that's what they do. And really, it's those who are really putting it into practice. Those who really put the Quran into practice very well may be killing their neighbor. I mean, so you may have a different take on that. And of course, our number here, that's what's great about here in America. We still have free time that you can have. It's fair because we have a phone number, 888-850-1872. That's what I'm reading. That's what I'm checking out. I'm in the middle of reading the Quran because I want to know what it says. I can't just sit here and rant and rave about something unless I know what it's talking about. Now, what I'm going to do, so we're talking about worldviews. They have consequences. Your worldview has consequences. And what you base things on for your reference has consequences. We're going to be talking about some of these things that people think today and some of the consequences. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to play something that Ronald Reagan said. Yes, it's the guy from Death Valley days, man, John Wayne. And that's quoting a movie with Cheech Marin. Yes, it's Ronald Reagan. He's going to say something here. I'm going to play it for a few minutes. It's in three segments, so it's going to be about 4 minutes. I want you to listen to what he says, and we're going to come back and relate it to what's happening today. And this is an important thing for you to tune into. And again, you can check us out at faithfreedoms.org. We've solved our in-studio problem, so you can actually watch a video and hear what's on the radio while we're playing this. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to, let's go 1927, ahead.
1927, an American socialist. Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that. Walter Reuther said, it's no secret that the United Automobile Workers is officially on record as backing a program of national health insurance. And by national health insurance, he meant socialized medicine for every American. Well, let's see what the socialists themselves had to say about it. They say, once the Farrand Bill is passed, this nation will be provided with a mechanism for socialized medicine capable of indefinite expansion in every direction until it includes the entire population. Well, we can't say we haven't been warned. Now, Congressman Farrand is no longer a congressman of the United States government. He has been replaced, not in his particular assignment, but in his backing of such a bill, by Congressman King of California. It is presented in the idea of a great emergency that millions of our senior citizens are unable to provide needed medical care. But this ignores the fact that in the last decade, 127 million of our citizens, in just 10 years, have come under the protection of some form of privately owned medical or hospital insurance. Now, the advocates of this bill, when you try to oppose it, challenge you on an emotional basis. They say, what would you do? Throw these poor old people out to die with no medical attention? That's ridiculous, and of course, no one has advocated it. As a matter of fact, in the last session of Congress, a bill was adopted known as the Kerr-Mills Bill. Now, without even allowing this bill to be tried to see if it works, they have introduced this King Bill, which is really the Farrand Bill. What is the Kerr-Mills Bill? It is a frank recognition of the medical need or problem of a senior citizens that I've mentioned. And it is provided from the federal government money to the states and the local communities that can be used at the discretion of the state to help those people who need it. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think
that is the profound question. What reason would they have to basically say that doesn't matter what level of income you have, no matter what your life situation is, that it really doesn't matter? But what is the reason for having a compulsory national healthcare system? Now, look, this was happening back in 1961, and Mr. Reagan at that point referenced back to something that failed in the Truman years. In the Truman years, they were proposing exactly what's being proposed today, a compulsory program where everybody must pay into it, and essentially everybody must be a participant. And there's a lot of other strange things that are going on that I don't want to get into detail that really are going to be linked to this. But what would be the reason for making it so that everybody, no matter what their situation is, has to comply? When Reagan started out that speech, he was talking about that he said traditionally the traditional method of imposing statism, socialism, socialized and statism, was healthcare. and basically coming up with something that says, hey, you know, people have a need. Are you against taking care of people's needs? Is that are you that bad? As he said later in this statement, he says, you're going to kick people out on the street who need health care. Is that what your intention is? Well, he said that there was, and he quoted some statist of the time, of the day, who said, well, hey, once we get our foot in the door here, we can expand this as far as we need it to go. Is that what's happening? I think that is what's happening. I think that is what's happening. Now you say, well, this is a political thing. There's a worldview issue. There's a conquering that's going on here. Here it was, and it's the same war that's been going on in America here for quite a long time. For quite a long time. This was back in Reagan. This was 1961, so that was 47, 48 years ago. And he was referring to the time before him. And you know what? There was a Cold War going on because there was a totalitarian state, the Soviet Union, who was oppressing its own people and under the guise of making sure everybody was helped. Under the guise of, and we're going to go to an article today that there's a Wall Street Journal op-ed piece that came out by a successful businessman who runs a health food grocery store. He's actually out there making big bucks, making sure that people are healthy because they're eating properly, and a good number of his clients are progressives. Okay, they're into that kind of thing. Well, he's into that kind of thing, but he came out with a report that said this whole healthcare thing is destructive. It's wrong. And he came out on the Wall Street Journal and said so. And now people are leaving his store they don't want to do business with him anymore. It's not censorship from his free speech. It's censure. For those of you who don't, you know, I have people tell me sometimes I'm doing censorship. No, it's when you misbehave, we censure you. We put you on hold. But we're going to look at this guy, and we're going to find out what he's doing. This guy in his business, here they complaining about him, but you know what was revealed after his op-ed piece is that he's got a healthcare program for his extremely successful business that all his employees love. And they've got a plan. In fact, it will get to the point, essentially, if everybody's healthy, that the plan pays for itself. Money that isn't spent stays in the pool and builds its dollar value. So we're going to be looking at that. We're going to find out what this particular businessman is doing in New York, and we're going to hear what he said. But the other thing is that Reagan said, he talked about the slow, you know, what's happening is they say this now, but it's a step toward a totalitarian state. When we come back, I'm going to play something I played a few weeks ago that has been said by the current president of the United States with regard to his vision for healthcare. And what I want you to do is, if you can stick with us, think about what Ronald Reagan said in this 1961 speech against socialized medicine. And then listen to what, and his forecast, that it's a foot in the door for ultimately, again, it's a step, it's the first wedge, so to speak, in a plan for a totalitarian state. It's something, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on for thousands of years, but it's happening on our watch. Remember, the home of the free and the brave. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this issue on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. My number here is 888-850-1872, and hopefully we're going to have a good chance to give you an opportunity to tell your feelings, share your feelings with us here on the Faith and Freedom Show. When we come back, again, I encourage you guys, how much are you giving in public or in private? Why are you sitting back on your haunches? Let's get on board with the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're going on the edge, folks. We're living on the edge. We're, in fact, introducing things that most people are overlooking. And we're here to do it for you and for me. Love God, love our neighbor as ourself. Hey, neighbor. So we're going to come back. Tune in.